Good afternoon. The Health Quality Subcommittee will please come to order. Melissa, would you please call the roll?
Chair Robertson?
Here.
Representatives Campbell is excused. Diaz is presenting in another committee. Gonzalez?
Here.
Nelson is presenting. Patronus? Rader?
Here.
Rollerson?
Here.
Rodriguez?
Here.
Rooney?
Here.
Saunders?
Here.
Spano? Watson?
Here.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Melissa. As we begin the meeting, I ask that everyone please make sure your cell phone is turned off or silenced. Remember that if you're appearing before the committee, you must fill out an appearance card. Okay, today we're going to be considering the following bills. House Bill 647, Infectious Disease Control by Representative Atkins. House Bill 211, Community Health Workers by Representative Reed. House Bill 687, Florida Drug and Cosmetic Act by Representative Magar. House Bill 1085, Behavior Analyst by Representative Rooney. And House Bill 1225, HIV Testing by Representative Saunders. And the first bill we're going to consider is House Bill 647. Representative Atkins, welcome. You're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for hearing House Bill 647. This bill provides for coordination of services relating to control of antibiotic-resistant threats by county health departments. It provides for the duties of the health department to disseminate information relative to the prevention and control of provides for the duties of the Department of Health to disseminate information relative to the prevention and control of antibiotic-resistant threats as identified by the Centers for Disease Control. It requires the Department of Health to document the presence, type, and location of the antibiotic-resistant threat outbreak and publish this information on their website. And then finally, it establishes the Department of Health to serve as the lead agency for the investigation of antibiotic-resistant threat outbreaks. And that's the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Representative Atkins. And I believe you do have a strike-all amendment. Would you please explain the amendment?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, that actually was the strike-all.
That was the strike-all?
That was the strike-all, yes.
Thank you.
My apologies.
Okay, any questions on the strike-all amendment? Question on the strike-all? Representative Rader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, what's the difference between the bill filed and the strike call? Was there one or two changes?
Recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, there's quite a few changes. You know, the objective of the bill from the very beginning was simply to make this information available to Floridians. So when there is an outbreak of this antibiotic-resistant threats, that Floridians have a single place that they can go to find where those outbreaks are occurring. So that was the original intent. The actual intent has never changed. The mechanism, we had thought that we needed to set up a framework whereby different licensed professionals could report this information, and we found that requirement really to be redundant. So we struck that information. But the primary objective from the very beginning was simply to communicate with Floridians when these outbreaks occur.
Okay, thank you. Members, any further questions on the amendment? Okay, any public testimony on the amendment? Okay, any debate on the amendment, members? Okay, would you like to close on your amendment?
I'll waive close on the
okay.
Amendment.
Okay. Let's show that amendment adopted without objection. Now we're back on the bill as amended. Members, any questions on the bill as amended? Okay. Do we have any public testimony? Okay. We have several. Pamela Pfeiffer with the University of South Florida Health.
She's not here. She waived in support.
Okay. Thank you. Peggy Rigsby.
Healthcare Association waves in support.
Waves in support. Thank you. Chris Newland, Florida Public Health Association.
Waves in support.
Okay, waves in support. Okay, anyone else in the audience wish to give public testimony? Seeing none, members, we're in debate. Any debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Atkins, would you like to close on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is an emerging issue, members. The CD estimates that $20 billion is spent each year in excess direct health care cost as it relates to antibiotic-resistant threats. And it's also estimated that 22 to 23,000 Americans die each year as a result of this threat, and many more when you look at the complications that this creates. So this is an emerging issue. I believe it's important that we create in one place where Floridians can go to the Florida Department of Health, an entity, a state agency that's trusted, where they can go and to see where these outbreaks are occurring. So I would ask for your favorable support of this bill.
Okay, thank you. Representative Atkins, having closed on her bill, Melissa, please call the roll on House Bill 647 and announce the vote.
Representatives Campbell, Diaz, Gonzalez,
yes.
Nelson, Petronas,
yes.
Rader,
yes.
Rollerson,
yes.
Rodriguez,
yes.
Rooney,
yes.
Saunders,
yes.
Spano,
yes.
Watson,
yes.
Chair Robertson,
yes.
Bill passes.
Show the bill reported favorably as amended. Congratulations. Okay. Okay, next up for consideration this afternoon is House Bill 1085 on behavioral analysts by our Vice Chair Rooney. Vice Chair Rooney will be presenting the next bill, and you are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Basically, this bill just attempts to regulate and licensure behavioral analysts in the state, which are currently not regulated, and there is a strike call with it.
Okay. Would you please go ahead and explain the strike call?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Basically, the strike call does several things. It changes the definition of board-certified behavioral analysts to include Florida-certified behavioral analysts as recognized by the National Behavioral Analyst Certification Board, increases the term limits for members of the board from 3 years to 4 years, which is consistent with other professional boards' term limits, replaces the term health care provider with health care practitioner, as defined under Chapter 456, revises rulemaking authority of the board related to licensure renewal and continuing education requirements, adds rulemaking authority for the Department of Health to adopt rules relating to towards licensure educational qualifications for licensure and continuing education requirements, clarifies that persons applying to be licensed as behavioral analysts or assistant behavioral analysts must apply to the Department of Health, and revises licensure requirements to include submission of fingerprints for background checks. Basically, Mr. Chair, this attempts to codify what we kind of missed in the original bill in terms of the licensing and regulating of behavioral analysts.
Okay, thank you. Members, we're on the amendment, the strike call amendment. Do we have any questions on the strike call amendment by our Vice Chair? Okay, seeing none, is there any public testimony on the amendment? Okay, any debate on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, let's show that amendment adopted without objection, and now we're back on the bill as amended. Members, any questions on the bill as amended? Okay, any public testimony? Okay, we have several. Doug Bell, Behavior Analyst Certification Board. Okay, ways and support. Ron Watson. Okay, thank you. Carol Green. Okay, thank you. Waves in opposition. Amanda Broadfoot.
Chairman?
Welcome.
Could we ask her a question?
Sure. Okay. Ms. Green?
Psychology Association.
Okay. Ms. Green, Representative Rader would like to ask you a question.
I will be glad to try. I am a lobbyist and not a psychologist, but I certainly will be glad to try.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you voice why you are opposed to the bill?
We have several points of why we are.
You're recognized.
We have several points as to why we are opposed to the bill. We have concerns, probably more than our opposition. We have some ways that we think we would like to offer up to the sponsor in debating with him and talking to him about how we could improve upon that, which is why I had mentioned the fact that I had tried to get an appointment so we could do that. We certainly recognize the fact that behavioral analysts are a very important part of the solution to many things. However, we also believe that with the scope of practice that we have for the psychologist, that we need to be very careful about what we're doing as far as who is being able to do which of the processes. We also note that there are several concerns that have been raised by other departments and other people who are in the business of taking care of the mental issues for our citizens here in the state. Again, as I said, we're glad to sit down, and we'll certainly redouble our efforts to have an opportunity to speak with the sponsor.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. Next, Amanda Broadfoot. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Mandy Broadfoot. I am a parent, and this is my son, Billy. He is 7.5 years old, and he has autism. And he began receiving services from a behavior analyst when he was 3.5 years old.
Mr. Chair, I don't believe her mic is on. Could you push the green?
Could you check? Oh, you push the button.
Is that better? Okay, thank you. Sorry. So, again, I'm Mandy Broadfoot, and this is my son, Billy, and he began receiving services from a behavior analyst when he was 3.5, and he's now 7.5. At that time, he was nonverbal, aggressive, self-injuring. He tantrumed for up to an hour. He wasn't potty trained. I had to go from working to not working at all at that point, and we also didn't sleep because he could get out. He wandered, and he could get out of any lock we put him in. So we were pretty much at the end of our rope, and at the time, he had also been receiving speech therapy, occupational therapy, some psychological therapy since he was 18 months old. And he also got early intervention services, but that had been going on for 18 months when we were at the point where he entered the public school system, and I was lucky enough that it was a public school that had ABA services. And at that point, I learned what that was when people started measuring behaviors, both his self-injuring behaviors as well as the positive things he did, like speaking, and they found reinforcers that would encourage those good behaviors. excuse me. They taught me how to be a better parent and to carry those things into the home, which was super important because I couldn't afford to have a therapist with me 24/7, and there's nothing that a therapist can do in 30 minutes a week, which had been the amount that we could pay for at that time with speech therapy, that will counteract what a parent does all week long. And they taught me how to use the time to get trained myself and then take that into the home. So, my behavior analysts were also the first people that showed me that they wanted Billy to be independent and to not need them anymore, which was a really nice place to be. So now he's 7.5. This child is now fully included in his second grade class. He receives no support for that. He has typical peers. He has a best friend that lives two doors down from him that he plays with. He talks to me. The other day he actually told me about his day, which was huge to us, he makes A's and B's, and we still have behavior analysts that come into our home twice a week. And I'm here today on behalf of parents because I can tell you we are desperate when we get an autism diagnosis, and we move for good services, which we did. We move our homes, we change jobs so that we can get health care that will cover things that our child needs. And so I know that right now there are parents that are out there who are moving jobs or going to new places that they don't know anybody, they can't depend on word of mouth. There needs to be some objective registry of analysts so that you don't have to worry on top of everything else that the person that's going into your home hasn't been background checked or qualified to offer your child services. I have been suggested by various people everything from brushing my child to making him listen to dolphin noises. So I know that there's all kinds of information out there. We don't do any of those things anymore. But now I feel very comfortable that the person I have is qualified, and I've got a team around Billy that's helped him achieve the success he has, and it's measurable success that I could share with any of you exactly how he got there. So I just ask that you consider this and think about our parents and our kids and who are already vulnerable enough. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for your testimony. Okay, next we have Debbie McDaniel, a parent also. You're welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Debbie McDaniel. I'm from Panama City, Florida. I have a son diagnosed with autism. I have a son named Connor diagnosed with autism. Unfortunately, when we received our diagnosis, the physician said to us, "I'm sorry, I know it's like losing a child." We were handed a magazine article on autism and given no further guidance. Unfortunately, this individual did not know about applied behavior analysis. I've heard similar stories from other parents, as ABA can be very difficult to locate. We didn't begin to see progress with my son until we got him into ABA. When we began, he was totally nonverbal. I wondered what it would sound like if I ever heard him speak a word. He was self-injurious because he was frustrated and had no ability to communicate. We got him into applied behavior analysis. He is now speaking in sentences. He is learning social skills, self-help skills. He is beginning to read. We were told he would never test. He sat for the FCAT. I feel that licensure would give parents a place to go to access competent care, and it would have saved us 2 years of searching, and he would have been in therapy at 2.5 when he was diagnosed instead of 4.5. So I feel that all families in Florida deserve a success story. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, and thank you for being here. Okay, next we have Gretchen Twing. Gretchen. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. I'm a behavior analyst. As these moms talked so much, we're practitioners that go into homes, we go into schools, and we help change behavior. We try to get rid of behaviors that are inappropriate and teach people more appropriate behaviors. What we hope the licensure bill will do is to as some of our parents talked about, try to create a central registry so that qualified practitioners of behavior analysis will be able to be found by parents, by others that need us. We want behavior analysts to be background screened. I may be working with a child in a parent's home, and currently we would not, that person may not be background screened. We want to make sure that that is something that helps protect the parents that use behavior analysis services. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Next, we have Mary Riordan.
Riordan. Association for Behavior Analysis, Wave and Support.
Thank you. She waves in support. Next, we have Julie Stewart.
Good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I'm speaking in support of this bill. I am I'm Julie Stewart, and I have been licensed as a clinical social worker for about 20 years. One of my early, and obviously I got in this field because I wanted to help people, and consumer protection is very important to me. One of my early jobs was at a facility for violent felony offenders, and the primary intervention was behavior analysis. It became very clear to me that this was beneficial to myself as a professional and to my clients. So I went on to specialize in behavior analysis. I have been board certified as a behavior analyst for 10 years. I have never doubted that decision. I feel like it enhanced my skills. In fact, I wish I would have known more about it when I was in grad school. I would have liked to specialize in it then. Under this proposed bill, I realized that I would not have to be required to be licensed, as I already am, but I understand that behavior analysis is a distinct profession, and I feel that there is a need for these professionals to be licensed so that the consumer can be certain these people have passed a background check, have the appropriate training and skills to be providing these services. Having a registry for the consumers would also be a good idea, would be helpful too. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Don Bailey. Thank you. She waves in support. Next, we have Adam Roberts. He waves in support. Okay, anyone else in the audience wishing to give public testimony? Okay, seeing none, members, we're now in debate. Representative Petronas, you're recognized in debate.
I just want to thank the mamas for coming up and testifying today. It's not easy to come up here and take time out of your day and away from your family and your workplace to come up here and give personal testimony that helps bring the reality to this process. So I just wanted to say thank you for them for participating. And to Representative Rooney, thank you for your legislation.
Okay, members, anyone else in debate? Representative Rawlerson, you're recognized.
Oh, okay, there we go. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think that this is a science and something that needs to be recognized and needs to be available. It's all about access and access to parents. And thank you, parents, for coming and testifying. It's not easy to do. So I'm in strong support of the bill, and I think it needs to be done. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, seeing no further debate, Vice Chair Rooney, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it. As a father of an autistic son, and really it's my wife that deals with his therapies, but you can have speech therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, group therapy, and behavioral therapy. So there's therapies galore out there for parents that have children on the autism spectrum. When I became aware of this particular area that was not regulated, I obviously was very interested in trying to help these folks out to give some legitimacy and some certainty to the parents that they're taking their children who they're entrusting to these doctors and physicians and therapists that they are who they say they are. So this bill helps that. Obviously, I will meet with the psychologist. I'm available at 2:30 if you want to schedule an appointment with me, and we'll try and work out whatever we can. But I really feel like this is an important step for those in the autism community so that they know who they're dealing with when it comes to behavior analysis. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll close.
Thank you, Vice Chair Rooney. Having closed on the bill, Melissa, would you please call the roll on House Bill 1085 and announce the vote?
Representatives Campbell, Diaz, Gonzalez.
Yes.
Nelson.
Yes.
Petronas.
Yes.
Rader.
Yes.
Rawlerson.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Rooney.
Yes.
Saunders.
Yes.
Sano.
Yes.
Watson.
Yes.
Chair Robertson.
Yes.
The bill passes.
Okay, show the bill reported favorably as amended, and Representative Petronas moves for committee staff to make any necessary technical amendments. Unless there is an objection upon the motion of Representative Petronas, committee staff shall make any technical amendments. Okay, the next bill for consideration this afternoon is House Bill 211, Community Health Workers, by Representative Reed. Representative Reed, you're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, members. Members, this the Community Health Workers Bill. Community health workers assume a wide range of roles and various settings to assist individuals with health care services, generally by performing patient advocacy, education, and direct care in isolated communities in which they live or have strong ties. That's the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Reed, and I believe we do have one amendment that Representative Watson is going to present. So at this time, Representative Watson, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a technical amendment. Brings it in line with the Senate's bill.
Okay. Thank you. Members, any questions on the amendment as presented? Any public testimony on the amendment? Any debate on the amendment? Okay. Show that amendment adopted without objection. Okay, now we're back on the bill as amended. Members, any questions of Representative Reed on the bill as amended? Okay, any public testimony on the bill?
Yes.
Okay, we have one, Neil McGarry with the Florida Certification Board.
Florida Certification Board waves in support.
Okay, thank you. They wave in support. Anyone else in the audience wishing to give public testimony? Okay, seeing none, members, we're in debate on the bill. Any debate on the bill? Okay, seeing no debate, Representative Reed, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members, for your favorable support. this is going to be a good bill for our community, for the state of Florida. So I ask for your support one more time later on.
Okay. All right. Okay. Representative Reed, having closed on the bill, Melissa, would you please call the roll on House Bill 211 and announce the vote?
Representatives Campbell, Diaz, Gonzalez,
yes.
Nelson,
yes.
Patronus,
yes.
Rader,
yes.
Rawlerson,
yes.
Rodriguez,
yes.
Rooney,
yes.
Saunders,
yes.
Spano,
yes.
Watson,
yes.
Chair Robertson,
yes.
Bill passes.
Okay, show the bill reported favorably as amended. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, the next bill for consideration this afternoon is House Bill 687, the Florida Drug and Cosmetic Act, by Representative Magar. Representative Magar, you're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In Florida, medical gases are regulated very much the same way under statute as prescription drugs. So things like such as oxygen and nitrogen, they're regulated like prescription drugs and cosmetics under Part 1 of Florida Statute 499. This bill creates Part 3 of 499, which will separate the regulation, including permitting, for manufacturers, wholesale distributors of medical gases, as well as medical oxygen retail establishments. And it will also regulate the manufacturers and distributors of other drugs and devices and cosmetics separately. And, Mr. Chairman, I have a strike call.
Okay. Representative, if you would please just go ahead and explain your strike call amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The strike call really just defines certain terms within the bill. It also adds a provision to Part 3 that requires DBPR to keep confidential certain trade secrets, and the bill adds a member to the Drug Wholesale Distributor Advisory Board. And that's a strike call.
Okay, thank you. Members, any questions on the amendment, the strike call amendment? Any public testimony on the amendment? Any debate on the amendment? Okay, show that amendment adopted without objection, and now we're back on the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Members, any questions on the bill as amended? Okay, any public testimony? We have one, Mark Delegal.
West Gas Association waves in support of
it. Waves in support. Okay, anyone else in the audience wishing to give public testimony? Okay, seeing none, members, we're in debate. We're in debate. Any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative, would you like to close on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would appreciate a favorable vote as this helps clarify this industry. It takes some of the wasted effort out of the regulation and makes common sense, and that's what many of us are trying to do here. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Magar, having closed on the bill, Melissa, would you please call the roll on House Bill 687 and announce the vote?
Representatives Campbell, Diaz, Gonzalez,
yes.
Nelson,
yes.
Patronus,
yes.
Rader,
yes.
Rawlerson,
yes.
Rodriguez,
yes.
Rooney,
yes.
Saunders,
yes.
Spano,
yes.
Watson,
yes.
Chair Robertson,
yes.
The bill passes.
Okay, show the bill reported favorably as amended, and Representative Spano moves for committee staff to make any necessary technical amendments. Unless there is an objection upon the motion of Representative Spano, committee staff shall make any technical amendments. Congratulations. Okay, the next bill we have for consideration today is House Bill 1225 on HIV testing by Representative Saunders. Representative Saunders, thank you for taking the podium, because since this was your first bill, I was going to ask you to please come to the podium and face the committee like everybody else has to do. So,
Mr. Chair, I remember.
Are you prepared to present your bill?
Move we adjourn.
Yeah.
Move to the previous question.
Okay. Wait a minute. You're not recognized yet. Okay. Are you prepared to present your bill? Yeah, you're recognized.
I believe I am.
Okay, go right ahead and present it then.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to present this important bill. I'd like to start by thanking Representative Kerry Pigman, who is not with us today, but is my primary co-sponsor on this bill, and I'd like to thank him for the record for his leadership on this issue. As many of you may know, despite advances in treatment and public education, the rate of HIV infections in our state is on the rise. Florida ranks second in the country for new infections annually and is home to over 130,000 Floridians who are living with HIV. Maybe most alarming is the data that shows that many of these new infections are happening in our state's Black, Hispanic, and LGBT communities. HB 1225 seeks to increase access to HIV testing and treatment and reduce the rate of infection in our state by reducing barriers to testing in a healthcare setting. Once passed, a doctor could offer an HIV test verbally, and the patient could accept or decline verbally, but no written consent will be required. The bill does preserve current requirements in statute that a healthcare professional inform a patient of both their confidentiality rights and that test results could be shared with the county health department under certain circumstances. The bill also preserves the informed consent standard in a non-healthcare setting where HIV tests are being conducted out in the community by people other than healthcare professionals. And, Mr. Chair, there is an amendment.
Okay. Thank you, Representative. You're recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment corrects an error in drafting when we redrafted the bill before filing. It maintains the current requirement in statute that a pregnant woman who declines an HIV test by her doctor must do so in writing.
Okay. Any questions, members, on the amendment? Okay. Any public testimony on the amendment? Any debate on the amendment? Show that amendment adopted without objection. Okay. Now we're back on the bill as amended. Members, any questions on the bill as amended? Okay, any public testimony? We do have some here. We have Michael Ruppel with the AIDS Institute. Michael, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Michael Ruppel, the Executive Director of the AIDS Institute. Founded in 1985 here in Florida, we're a national organization with our headquarters in Tampa. Our mission is to promote action for social change through public policy research and education. And we are raising our voice today to bring awareness about HIV and AIDS, which is still an infectious disease. It's preventable, and there is still no cure. So currently, there are over 130,000 individuals living with HIV in Florida, but yet there are over 20,000 individuals that are HIV positive and don't know they're carrying the virus. HIV testing saves lives. People have to take an HIV test before they know their status. The sooner someone knows they're infected, the sooner they can get care and treatment and ultimately reduce their viral load, which improves their health, but it also reduces the chances of transmission to others. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force believes testing can save lives too and rated HIV testing as a grade A, which means it should be routinely offered and the cost is covered by health insurance. So we're asking you to support House Bill 1225, which ensures patients provide consent for HIV testing while reducing the administrative paperwork burden for healthcare professionals. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Chris Newland.
Florida Public Health Association, Ways and Support.
Thank you. Jesse Fry, Florida HIV AIDS Advocacy Network.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 300 members statewide, Ways and Support.
Thank you. Ways and Support. Stephen R. Wynn, Florida Osteopathic Medical Association.
Ways and Support, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Ways and Support. Michelle Jacques.
Florida Medical Association, Ways and Support.
Ways and Support. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else in the audience wishing to give public testimony? Seeing none, members, we're now in debate on the bill. Any debate? Representative Spano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I support this bill, and this is not a question because we're not allowed to ask questions during debate, but it might be interesting if the sponsor could answer the question during closing. Just curious if he knows what was the rationale behind not requiring informed consent for HIV testing for pregnant mothers. That's just a curious question I have, but I support the bill.
Okay. Maybe he could do that. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Seeing that, I will say that Representative Saunders, I know you're passionate about this issue and you were well prepared and you did a good job on your first bill. So you might want to, could you address, you know, Representative Spano's, you know, concern in your close?
Yes.
So, okay, you're recognized to close on your bill then.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm happy to. And I'm going to forget that you promised me you wouldn't tell everybody it was my first bill. Representative Spano, the current statute requires that all pregnant women in the state of Florida be tested for HIV as part of their, you know, when they go to the doctor's office and get all the prenatal work done. And the standard requires that if they are told they would be getting the test and decide they don't want it, that they have to provide written consent to not take it. So we thought that was a higher threshold that needed to be kept. In fact, there's really important data about how after that standard was put into law, zero babies in the state were born with HIV, since once a mother knows her standard, her status, if she becomes, if she gets put on antiretroviral drugs right away, the odds of a child being born with HIV drops dramatically. So that's a standard that we wanted to keep. I just wanted to say in closing that there's a saying in the HIV/AIDS community that knowing your status is really important. Once somebody knows their status, the odds of them giving or transmitting the infection to somebody else drops dramatically. And, in fact, their lives can be extended by decades because they can be put into a continuum of care and start to receive treatment that's really important. So this is in taking an important step towards making sure people know their status while at the same time removing an unnecessary burden on doctors, as you've heard in our testimony today. Many of them waved in support, which I'm very thankful for, my friends out here. So with that, I do close, and I ask for your favorable support.
Okay. Melissa, Representative Saunders, having closed on his bill, would you please call the roll and announce the vote?
Representatives Campbell, Diaz, Gonzalez,
yes.
Nelson,
yes.
Petronas,
yes.
Rader,
yes.
Rollerson,
yes.
Rodriguez,
yes.
Rooney,
yes.
Saunders,
yes.
Spano,
yes.
Watson,
yes.
Chair Robertson,
yes.
The bill passes.
Show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Members, this is the last meeting of Health Quality Subcommittee, and I would like to thank all the members for their attention, and I think we accomplished some good work in this committee this session, and I'd like to thank our staff. We've got an excellent staff that was our backup, and I'd like to thank all of them for the excellent work they've done. They contributed to the process. So this concludes our committee agenda for this session, and Representative Nelson moves we rise. Unless there's an objection upon the motion of Representative Nelson, the meeting is adjourned.